We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. It is living, it is active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Our scripture this morning comes out of Luke 2. It's a very familiar passage, part of the Christmas story. Verses 11 through 14. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You for Your love for us in so many ways. And Lord, as we gather around Your word this morning, and we talk about peace, the peace those angels proclaimed, a peace, Lord, that almost seems to be something we yearn for but never find. Oh God, minister Your grace to us. By Your Holy Spirit, move among us and open our hearts and our minds to hear Your word, to truly have it embedded within us so that, Lord, we might be changed. We might be transformed just a little bit more into the image in which we were created. Oh God, minister Your grace to us. Pour out Your love upon us as we wait before You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, peace can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. For example, what would peace mean to a soldier? Or the mother of a colicky infant? Or a child whose parents won't stop fighting? Well, peace usually means the end of something, either the end of war or the end of nonstop crying or the end of a heart-wrenching dispute. So what kind of peace were these angels referring to as they declared God's peace? Is there a promise here of an end of any of these other things, of war, crying, arguing? Not really. All of those are temporary forms of peace. Wars break out again, and babies are going to cry again, and relationships are going to get strained again. Jesus even told us that there would be wars and rumors of wars until He came again. The peace that these angels proclaimed over those fields of Bethlehem many years ago, the peace that we celebrate and yearn for on this second Sunday of Advent, is a peace that much of our world will only experience through others. It's a peace that only the Messiah can bring, a personal, permanent kind of peace. A peace between self-absorbed, willful, sinful people like you and me and a holy God. That reconciliation, that peace is what the angels proclaimed. Indeed, in the New International Translation, which we read this morning, the angels declared that permanent personal peace only for those with whom God's favor rests. It's an interesting twist. Whereas the ESV reads, among those with whom he is pleased. Now the old King James Version translated it a little bit differently. They changed the words a little bit differently. Similar translation. They said peace, goodwill toward men. But even in the King James Version, the understanding should be that peace is a gift of God given to humanity that will be only be realized by those whom God is pleased. His children, His people. Everyone doesn't find that peace. Because like love, everyone doesn't know the God of peace. What the angels were declaring, this Prince of Peace, was to come into our world so that we could know the God of peace and then be able to reflect that peace, at least some of it, with others and with our world. I'd love to be able to promise that this Christmas you're going to have peace in all of your relationships. That's what we pray for. That's what we yearn for. But I can't promise that. Because the Bible doesn't promise that. The Bible says in Paul's words to the Roman church, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There will always be those who don't know the God of peace. So there will always be conflict. There will always be division. It shouldn't surprise us. It should encourage us. We know people, I'm sure we all know people, who seem to thrive on conflict. If they don't have any, they'll create a little bit, you know, right there on the spot. And then there are some people or groups of people who are so filled with self-interest and hate that they think nothing of taking for themselves what belongs to others. It's wishful thinking to believe that because of Jesus, we will never experience interpersonal conflict or be free from conflict between nations and people. But in Christ, you and I are called to be different from our world. We have experienced, if we've experienced Him at all, we have experienced, at least partially, the reality of peace with God. And thus we're actually called to reflect that peace to one another and to the world around us. So what is this peace that God gives us and calls us to reflect? Well, first of all, it's a peace from our past in broad categories. Most of us have things in our past that we wish weren't there, that wish we could do over again. Mistakes that we would like to correct, or even hurts or scars that we wish could be fully erased. If there's anything in your past that still causes you shame or embarrassment or guilt, well, the angels declare that you can be at peace. If there's anything in your past that brings you sadness or grief or loneliness, the angels are declaring that you can be at peace, real peace. If there's anything in your past that brings you regret over things done or said, maybe that hurt the people you love, well, the angels declare that you can be at peace. You see, Jesus does what we cannot do. As far as the sins we have committed, the Bible says, as far as from the east is from the west, they've been removed. The slate's wiped clean. God doesn't look at us as sinners. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's how God looks at you and me. as far as those scars from sins committed against us by others, the Bible says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All things are new with Jesus. All things. And He makes it possible for you and for me to be totally at peace with God. No conflict, no anxiety, no anger, no questioning. Peace with God. It'd be nice if that were equally true for others around us, that they could have that same peace. Those who've suffered with the consequences of our sin, if they forget, if they could remove the scars of things we've done, if our relationship with them could be white as snow, God says it almost can be. As our relationship with Him grows, as His peace becomes more evident in our life, as we yearn to forgive and be forgiven, then that peace can be a reality in the relationships that we have with one another. The more we know God, the more we know the God of peace, the more we can accept the peace from our past. And certainly, the second aspect of knowing the God of peace is finding the peace in our present, in the now. When the baby in the Christmas story was at the end of his life, he said to his followers in John 14, "I am leaving you with a gift." Now, this is a New Living Translation. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or be afraid." Jesus tells us that the peace that comes through Him is not the same as the peace that we often yearn for in our world. Our world does promise peace in a number of ways. It promises what it can't deliver. We're bombarded with advertisements that promise we'll know peace if we'll purchase this product or that product. Every pain medicine that's advertised offers peace. Sleep drugs, big these days, to give us peace. Alcohol. Even those who buy gold, you know, those ads, that's so you'll have peace. That's what the world sells. That's what the world is offering. We're so bombarded with what the world offers, and all of those are just temporary at best and fatal at worst, that often we have difficulty believing in the real peace, that really we can have joy unspeakable. We can have peace beyond understanding. That peace proclaimed by Jesus and those angels long, long ago. We often think of peace as being without trials, without troubles, the absence of pain and suffering and heartache, no more conflict, no more anxiety, no more fear. Well, that kind of peace, while admittedly nice, cannot be sustained, not in this world. That'll be for the world to come. So we need a peace now that transcends our circumstances, that transcends our anxieties, and allows us to rise above the urgency of the immediate, and allows us to have a clear head and a calm heart in the midst of chaos that is so much a part of our contemporary life. That's the peace that the angels promised. That present reality of knowing the God of peace that makes everything else secondary. That's how you know peace in the present. Of course, then we have to deal with peace in the future. anxiety about the future. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next year? It's always going to be there to rob us of the peace of the now, to rob our heart of the joy that we need to feel now, the tranquility of today. What if I lose my health? What if my child dies? Or my company goes under and I lose my job? What if these things out there, what if? The truth is that any of those things can happen anytime and to any of us. And it does happen all around us. However, dwelling on our worst fears does nothing to prevent them. You ever notice that? It just robs us of our sleep, our health, our joy, and our peace of mind today. Have you ever considered, in that many ways, the world didn't dramatically change after Jesus' birth? Not outwardly. Look at the tragedy of His life. Those 30 years, King Herod, right off the bat, ordered the murder of our baby boys. That wasn't peaceful. Later, Jesus would be publicly humiliated, beaten, executed for daring to share that audacious message that He was providing a way for you and me to live at peace with God. No, peace didn't come when Jesus was born. Not in the way that we think it should have come and the way we wanted to come. You know, history's going to show, if you look back, that from the time of Jesus until today, there hasn't been a single day that there wasn't a war in this world. Somewhere people were fighting. Human cruelty and lack of regard for the sanctity of life has always been with us. I don't believe it's any better or worse today than at any other time in history. You would think it should be better. You would think we'd be more civil. You think we could find ways to work things out. In this country, we always used to look and say, well, that's the rest of the world. Not any longer. Human nature doesn't change. And human nature is everywhere. There's a human being. Whether they're an American or whether European or whatever, African, doesn't matter. Human nature is human nature. And it doesn't change. And there's still today in this 21st century, in our modern day, places on this planet so overwhelmed with poverty and injustice that it defies description. There are still dictators and evil regimes and misguided politicians that will stop at nothing to accumulate power and wealth, it seems. So it has been, and so it shall be. There's never been and never will be a government in the history of this planet that has been able to break the bondage of sin that constantly expresses itself in individual lives and society as a whole. In fact, these governments contribute to that bondage. That's why Jesus said in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We need to quit looking to our world for peace. We need to strive for the absence of conflict. But real peace is not the absence of conflict. Real peace is in a relationship with God. And that relationship is only in Jesus. Tragedy has and does and will come. But one thing will not change. That Savior, that the angels sang about, He's still alive. And He's still involved in this world. And He's still pouring out His peace on all those who will receive and believe. I'm convinced that if we could just get a glimpse of heaven today, we would still hear those angels singing glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men with whom He favors. They're still singing it. You see, the God of peace has come. He is our peace from deeds of the past, committed to us and committed by us. He is our peace from anxious moments of our present and from any fears of our future. This Advent is, as we pray and prepare our heart for the Prince of Peace, understand that neither we nor our world can ever have the gift without the giver. Peace begins with a relationship, you see? A relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the one who embraces us completely and fills our hearts eternally with His presence. And He is the only consistent person in that relationship. From that relationship with God, and only that relationship, will we be able to reflect His peace, however imperfectly, to the world around us. That's our challenge. That's our call. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men with whom His favor rests. Let's pray.